welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Rarely a week goes by that I don't hear from some pastor, and it's usually a pastor, but it could be anybody. It could be a staff person, particularly in student and children's ministry. Mm-hmm. And they use two words, and they use them, bitterness may be too strong, but they use it with frustration. And those two words are age discrimination. Mm-hmm. And as we will find out, I hear from young people, and I hear from older people. And we're going to discuss the reality of this issue. Is there age discrimination in the hiring of pastors, in the hiring of staff at churches?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, Jonathan, it's kind of one of those topics that no one wants to touch, so we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
We'll
and
take the heat
You know
part.
Who I bet deals with this too is Vanderblum and Search Group. They're the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblum and Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. We're proud to have them as a sponsor. And
we got to have William back on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I bet he would have some great insight into this.
Yeah, because that's Vanderblum and specialty. But we'll talk about it for now, and then when we get William back here, we'll talk.
You can correct this.
Yeah, you can correct. Well, this is really nothing to correct. This is more factual than it's more descriptive than prescriptive.
Yeah. And I bet he's got stories galore on this.
I bet he does too. Absolutely.
All right, number one, age discrimination is common in many churches.
Okay, let's face the reality.
There we go.
Let's just put it out there. Churches do age discrimination. Some churches are discriminating on younger persons. Mm-hmm. Some churches are discriminating on older persons. Recently talked to a pastor who was called by a congregational vote to a church. The negative votes, very few of them, the negative votes were related to his age.
Mm-hmm.
Too young.
Yep. And
too
he's
young.
My age.
Yes, yes.
And, or somewhere around
you know,
there.
And I look at you and I think of anything but youth when I look
wow.
at you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Well, I kind of feel like you're a peer of mine around 60 years old. And
that
and,
hurts.
Hey, at least I'm still breathing.
I remind you that you have sons my age.
That is so true. You would be my second oldest son?
Yes.
Wow. So it would be Sam, Jonathan, Art, and Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. You'd be put that in the will.
You'd be another middle child.
Yeah.
You and Art.
But you're right. Age discrimination in not only senior pastors, I think you mentioned this, but I know several youth pastors who have gotten to their 40s, maybe upper 40s, and then the church looks at them and go, well, you're too old to do youth ministry.
That's exactly why I said, and children's ministry.
Children's ministry as well.
Those are. Do you think it's more, now you probably know more about this because you're married to a children's minister. Do you think the age discrimination is more common with student ministry than children's ministry?
I think it's different. I think it's common in both.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is discriminatory in maybe in the children's area. And I don't want to say for a good reason because that's not a good reason. But I think the rationale behind it for against younger children's ministers is you don't have kids, you're not married.
Okay.
So they look at maybe a single guy or a single woman in their 20s and go, how can you teach us and talk to our kids and talk to our parents when you have no idea? And they don't say the same thing to a youth guy that same age, but
wow.
they do for children. Which
wow.
is kind of an interesting dynamic.
Bring up another point. When I was a pastor at one of my churches, my children's minister was older than I am. And
wow.
She, there you go. And that was some time ago. But she stayed at the church through retirement.
Yeah.
So are we saying that a female children's minister might not experience the age discrimination that a male children's minister on the older end?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so, especially because they see them, no offense, but they see them more as a grandmotherly figure.
Yeah, instead of
and they're fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. That was not part of the script that we had there. But
that leads us to the second point.
The best children's minister I ever had ended up retiring as a children's minister.
Yeah, and I think that leads us to our second point, is that they don't discriminate maliciously. A lot of times, this isn't intentional. It's just kind of maybe subconsciously done.
Well, all right. This is not a correction, Jonathan. It is supplemental. Some churches do discriminate intentionally, but not maliciously.
Yeah.
Now, how do we know that they discriminate intentionally? They put out surveys.
Yeah.
okay, we're about to hire a pastor. Mm-hmm. Give us the profile of the ideal pastor. And it's always they're a perfect pastor. Yeah. They're a perfect leader. They have a perfect family.
Heart for evangelism.
A heart for evangelism, a heart for discipleship. They do pastoral care in an extraordinary way.
They're the greatest preacher in the world.
They visit everybody all the time, and they spend a lot of time with their family.
And they're just like the guy that we used to have that we love.
Yeah, yeah. Now that he's gone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this profile comes out, and what is the typical age? It usually hits in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Mid-40s.
Yep.
With 2.3 kids.
Yes, 2.3 kids, and you know, once you get down in the 30s, he might be a little young. Once you get out into the 50s,
way too old.
So those of you who are looking at pastoral opportunities in your 40s, hurry.
It's interesting how that works, because it's true. A pastor in his 40s probably has an easier time finding a church than a pastor in his 50s or a pastor in his 30s.
Yep. Totally agree. And sometimes the size and the budget of the church is reflective as well. Sometimes some of the smaller churches are not as discriminatory as some of the larger churches.
Well, I had a pastor recently who's in his mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
Look at me and say, you know, I like my church. I would probably leave and go to another church if I got called, but I'm in my late 50s and nobody's going to call me. There are things in his church that he'd like to change, but he's just kind of accepted them as they're just going to be this way because I'm too old to try to go or to try to change them. Because if I try and they fire me, then I'm pretty much
you don't
much
have
done.
Any place to go.
I don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, that's the reality. Caveat. Let's call it, instead of a caveat, parenthetical. A lot of this is true in the business world as well. A lot of this is true in the secular world.
Yeah.
Men and women in their 50s looking for a new opportunity, unless they're at the highest level, like a CEO, moving from one organization to another.
Middle to lower management in your 50s.
It's tough.
That's
it's
rough.
Tough to move from one position to another. And in the corporate world, a lot of it has to do with pay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hire someone younger that we can pay cheaper. That's not usually the case in churches, but sometimes it's the case with churches as well.
Number three, many churches determine candidate profiles by surveying members. You talked about this a minute ago.
Yeah, it is typical. And again, we acknowledge and recognize that there are tons of different ways. And let's use the example of a pastor, even though we said this extends to church staff. There are tons of ways to call a pastor. There is just the search committee voted on by the congregation in a congregational approach. There's the elders selecting someone. Oftentimes, it's augmented by a search firm like Vanderblum.
You've also got judicatories that appoint pastors.
Yeah, you've got the Methodist Church that appoints pastors. And so there are different ways that pastors come into churches. But typically, the congregation, typically may be an overstatement, but many times the congregation is surveyed, and the congregation, one of the questions is, what age pastor would you like? And they don't. You can put a range down.
Yeah.
They may check off a range, or you can put a certain age. But I can guarantee you, it's going to always be close to the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 38.
Unless it's an older church.
Yeah.
Then they want people like them.
Not always. Sometimes they want a younger pastor so they can bring younger people in. Most of the time, it's going to be right at the late 30s. By the time he gets here, he'll be 40. And then
a lot of times, that's how it works.
And then to the late 40s and maybe early 50s. And that's pretty much it. These surveys are so predictable. And again, we see younger congregations putting these ages down. We see older congregations doing this. And so, yeah, the survey oftentimes becomes the instrument for the discrimination.
Number four is that those excluded from consideration are usually on both ends of the age spectrum. That's younger and older. We talked about this right at the top. The ones that are in their 40s usually don't experience age discrimination. It's guys in their 20s and early 30s and 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I got a... an email or maybe a comment, and I don't remember which it was, or maybe a tweet. Anyway, someone communicated with me several weeks ago, and it was a guy looking for a pastorate. And his comment was, I'm a single male in my 20s. Nobody's giving me a chance. He said, I'm too young and I'm too unmarried.
Yeah.
and he's right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know churches that would they would never even consider
it. Some of them have theological reasons for it. Some of them believe the pastor's supposed to be married. Some of them just want a married person there. And so as a result, they don't hire the single guy.
Yeah. Well, I've got a friend who just took his first pastorate.
You know, you amaze me with that statement.
I have a friend?
Yes.
Yeah. His first pastorate this weekend starts.
Cool.
That we're recording this the weekend. He starts his first pastorate. He's been a missions pastor at a really large church in North Carolina for the last few years. But he's married.
Yeah.
Two kids. They're, I think, 4 and 1. Married to a good friend of mine from high school. But he is starting his first pastorate this weekend, and he's been looking for a pastorate for 4 or 5 years. And they didn't want to hire him because he was too young and too inexperienced a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's been on staff at a 4,000-member church.
Wow.
And he's been on staff for about 12 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He's got a doctorate from Southern.
Wow.
He teaches at Fruitland Bible College.
Wow.
And he's had churches pass over him because he was too young.
How's his oldest child?
4.
So go back 4 years, he had no children, too, during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, but unbelievable. It took him to he turns 35, which is my age. So
the magic age in many times.
And now churches are considering because
the survey said 38, but we might be in for 35.
So, you know, congratulations to him. He's starting his first pastorate. I know he's really excited.
What state is the pastorate in?
In North Carolina.
Cool.
So
excellent.
He's looking forward to it, but, you know, for the last couple of years, he's just been really frustrated because people don't think he has any experience, even though he's on staff and been on staff and preached at this huge mega church in North Carolina
for
the last few years.
And it sounds like he's going to be a gift to the church.
But it was because of his age.
Yeah.
I think they just used the experience thing as a crutch because they didn't want to admit, well, you're too young.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Yeah. But that's symptomatic of exactly what we're talking about. They're on both ends of the spectrum in terms of young and old.
Now, this next point, I had never heard this before, so you're going to have to explain this to me. Many members use the plus 15 mental calculation to determine if a candidate is too old.
Okay.
I mean, I get what you said in the post here, but I'd never heard this before.
Well, Jonathan, you're hearing it for the first time.
I am.
On your own podcast.
How about that?
Rainer on Leadership, hosted by Jonathan Howe.
Whatever.
So here is the mental calculation that many church members will go through, and they'll tell you that. They think that it's a good possibility, and again, I'm going to focus on pastors right now because this is more endemic with calling a pastor. They think that their pastor is going to be at their church for 15 years.
Any reason why 15?
15 is a good long-term ministry.
Okay.
There's nothing beyond that.
It's not just, many people make it that far, though.
Well, no, they usually make it to 3.5 years or 3.6, as we've often said, or at least the average is there. So what they do is they say, how old will this pastor be? And again, we're using pastor's example, in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the reason why a 55-year-old often has time, but often does not get considered, because 55 plus 15 is
70.
And most of them will say, 65, you know.
Well, they also think, well, he's not going to be here that long, or maybe he's just looking to get to retirement, or, you know, he's going to coast through for a few years to retirement. So you got that going against you.
Got a lot going against you. And it just hit me. This is a pretty negative podcast, but I guess if you're talking about discrimination, it becomes a negative topic. But there are some churches that are not discriminatory. But just because a church is discriminatory does not mean that it's a bad church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay to say this is what we are looking for, but that does exclude certain people.
Yeah.
So, I often refer to communication that I get. I got a fairly long email from a friend, a former student, and he said, I've discovered age discrimination is real. He actually used those two words. I don't know his exact age, but my guess is he is getting close to his mid-50s.
Okay.
He has, I think, all of his children are out of college, and all of his children are gone, been away. So I'm for some time, so I am thinking that he's around 55 years old. 55 is a psychological barrier for some churches. I don't know why, but I have heard search committee people say, well, 55 is really at the top end. It's really at the oldest place. It's an absolute shame. There's some people that are 60 years old that are still pretty active in life and ministry like me.
How old's Mike Glenn?
Mike Glenn's my pastor, and he's 58 years old.
Okay.
He's 2 years
doing okay.
Oh, I would.
Last decade has been pretty good for Mike.
Last 5 years have been the best 5 years of his church ministry by almost all measures. So, yeah.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I know a lot of pastors in their mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really, really like hitting their stride right now.
Yeah. Think about Ken Whitten.
Yeah.
At Idlewild in Tampa. Think about Hayes Wicker.
I was going to say,
First Naples.
Holy moly.
Yeah, at church. I mean, you got
Florida.
Naples, Florida.
4,000 people, 3,500, whatever it is.
And a community of 25,000 to 30,000 people.
They're reaching like 15 to 20% of the community every weekend.
So it'll end up being our final point, but it's really a shame that we don't consider at times the younger and the older.
Yeah, because churches are missing some great opportunities by narrowing their focus to a certain age.
We have said on a number of occasions that we are seeing a greater difficulty in churches finding staff, and particularly the pastor.
Finding good staff.
Finding staff that they feel is satisfactory for their church, that is good for their church. You're exactly right. And the mismatch is occurring for a lot of different reasons, but this is not the only reason. But one of the big reasons, particularly for pastors, for those looking for pastors, is you have narrowed the age range to about a 10 to 12 year span.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've excluded everybody on the young side. You've excluded everybody on the older side. Those are the ones that are the most frustrated, like your friend who has had to wait 2 or 3 years trying to find a church, even though he was on staff at a mega church. My friend, who I think is around 55 years old, has been totally unsuccessful not finding a church. And by the way, here is just an admonition that I'm going to give staff, and again, particularly pastors, but it would apply to everyone. It is easier to get a job if you have a job.
Mm. I've heard that so many times.
Yes. And the friend that I'm talking about felt a lot of God step down from the church, and so now he's dealing with the age and he's dealing with the unemployment issue.
Two boxes in his not favor.
Yeah. And I know that sometimes you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is just untenable for you and your family, and just for the sake of your emotional health, you've got to leave. I understand that. But please hear me well. If you feel like it's time to go, try to stay where you are. Do everything you can to stay where you are, because it is much more difficult to find a job if you don't have a job. When we have William Vanderblumen on next time, we'll talk about remind me, because I know I'll forget. I have a lot of things on my plate. Well, you do too, but you're younger. You can remember. Us old people don't
steel
remember.
Trap up here.
Yeah. It's because, I'm not going to go into your baldness again.
Because it doesn't have to worry about holding any hair.
I'm not going to even go there. But let's talk to William about what he recommends to those who do not have churches. Maybe they've been fired. Maybe they've been they've decided for different reasons to step down, and now they're ready to get back into a church. Let's that's a good thing to talk about with him. May even be a good blog post for the future.
Yeah. Well, let's finish this up with, what are churches missing? Because you say they're missing some great opportunities. What kind of opportunities? Give me some specifics that they're missing if they're narrowing down their age.
Well, let's look at the older one. Experience. My goodness. I understand that there some people get the same year experience over and over again. but there are a lot of people that have 20 years of experience, and it's rich experience, 40 years of experience, and it's just rich experience, maturity, the ability to deal with people, a broader outlook. There are just so many. They've been in the pulpit longer if they're preachers, so they have better – they might have better communication skills. Yeah. This almost sounds discriminatory against people who have children at home, but if they don't have children at home, they're able to focus a lot of time on the church.
Yeah.
Because, of course, then they start getting grandchildren like I do. I started asking for grandchildren, thought I'd get 3 or 4, and now I got 9, and I didn't know I was going to get that many. But they still may have more time to do that. On the younger end, enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have more energy when you're younger as opposed to older. Formative stage, you have an opportunity to help shape that leader.
They probably also open to more ideas. I mean, they don't have a set way of doing things.
They've been doing things. They haven't been doing things the same way all their life because their lives are not that long. And so I think there are advantages on both sides, and I think we're looking at missed opportunities. Churches are looking at missed opportunities by saying, we're only going to deal with those in the 40s. And by the way, if you are a listener in your 40s, we love you too.
Yes.
I don't mean to suggest that we're trying to kick you out just because you're the preferred age of many churches.
I keep thinking this goes back to our podcast we have with Kyle Adelman.
Yeah.
What he talked about with Bob Russell and Dave Stone and now Kyle Adelman at Southeast Christian.
In Louisville, Kentucky.
And how they've brought in the successor and they train him up from not a young age, but a younger age.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hand him off when they're kind of in their prime. And then those guys are able to stay there in their prime, you know, with the church. And you see the success that church has had.
Yeah.
And a lot of it really has to do, I mean, obviously with the Spirit moving in the church, but the stable leadership, the not really any big, you know, surprises to the people.
Yeah.
It is a constant, and it's a constant growth.
Yeah. I wish all churches could do that. Not all churches can afford.
Bring people up.
Yeah,
from those ages.
Yeah, but you can have people that maybe you're not paying to that are on staff, but you can start mentoring some and see the possibilities. So the admonition is don't rule out those of younger or older ages.
Yeah, and you might be able to find some of those younger guys at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. They're a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as they do through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. Find out more about TEDS at divinity.tiu.edu. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Well, we've mentioned William Vanderblumen a couple of times, and it'll be time in the very near future to have him back to talk in detail about some of these issues. So we'll wait to hear more.
Yeah, can't wait to have him back on, and thank you again for joining us for Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.